This interview is brought to you by Panasonic Lumix G cameras for today's photographer. I have the opportunity to have a conversation with one of the most prominent photographers. It's based down in wedding and portrait photographers. It's based down in Southern California. His name is Becker. And for those in the industry, they know that he's a pretty solid voice in terms of talking about various things in terms of getting your business up and going and influencing people that are coming into the industry, all sorts of things. He's a trainer. He's a great photographer. He's a great speaker. I give you Becker. Hey, Becker, thanks for coming on This Week in Photography.
Hey, Frederick, thanks for having me. I'm stoked to be here, man.
Yeah, this is awesome. So, I want to jump into it right away and sort of, I have a ton of questions for you. And the first of them is, how did you get started in this stuff and why did you get started?
You know, I took a high school photo class 20 years ago, 1989. I just fell in love with photography. Then I started doing the school newspaper and yearbook and just started shooting pictures. I started working at a photo lab. And my whole life, the last literally 20 years, has been all about photography. And I've been absolutely loving it.
So what was the impetus? You know, a lot of people say, you know, hey, my dad had a camera and he influenced me into getting into photography, or I saw this one image and after I saw that image, I had to get into photography. What was the thing that kicked you over the edge and made you want to be a photographer?
Well, to be honest, like I was taking an art class, and the teacher who taught the art class, he taught like five periods of photography, one period of art. And I just liked the teacher. He's a really cool guy. And he's like, hey, you should take my photo class. And I thought, okay, I'll pick up a camera. It sounds fun. And honestly, I really liked it. And then again, I was a really shy kid in high school. And it was a way to meet girls. I'm like, I will take pictures of the pretty ladies.
You were that guy, huh?
I was that guy. I wanted to be a fashion photographer for the longest time. And I used to shoot models and actors and headshots. And I did that for a few years before getting into weddings. And honestly, just got so burnt out on that industry because all them pretty girls are crazy. So I traded in the crazy models for the crazy brides. But thankfully, I've had some pretty cool brides to deal with. So
that's awesome. So fast forward, you got into photography. You love it. Are you doing the wedding photography? You're an educator. You're an entrepreneur. How did you transition from, I'm just going to shoot weddings every weekend to now I'm going to start teaching people how to shoot weddings?
Well, again, so like I got into weddings about 13 years ago after watching those Dennis Reggie videotapes and was just, again, after doing the fashion stuff, I was like, no, this is what I want to do. I started doing my business, and I had some people called overnight success, but I'm like, well, I worked really hard for several years. And then it did seem that, we started making a name for ourselves and we started, booking some nice jobs and getting lots of business. And then right at the same time in the, late 90s, 97, 98, as I was building my business, this internet that Al Gore invented started popping up, and I started getting just, again, emails and calls from photographers all over the country just asking questions and, hey, how do you do this? And over the years, it just kind of just snowballed and snowballed and, and here I am today. So,
yeah. So business is still going well. And that begs the question, we're in, 2009 and a global economic recession, whatever you want to call it. It's not good when you dealing with money right now. How is your business faring in this economy?
Honestly, my business is doing great. And I think it's because, my clients, they're still rich. I know people are losing their houses and people are having a rough time. But thankfully, I the kind of weddings that I'm doing, most people are still pretty pretty well off. And, I remember working at that photo lab. The owner told me that people would rather eat cat food than not have pictures of their kids. Yeah, and, yeah. People still fall in love in good times and bad, and weddings are still happening. And because we've built a nice nice little boutique brand and a following amongst my clients and brides. You know, I still get plenty of referrals, and I'm shooting, you know, just about as many weddings as I expected to. Every year we seem to do a few less weddings for a little more money because we keep raising our rates and stuff and just being a little more exclusive. But again, I'm having a great time. I'm going to have a great 09, and 2010 is actually shaping up pretty well, and we're having a good time.
Well, then you mentioned your brand and being a boutique brand. How did before you answer that question, how did you brand yourself? I mean, I know you go by the name Simply Becker. Why is that, and how did that come about?
Well, it's one of those things, like, again, all my friends were calling me that anyway, and I wanted to make a name for myself. Like, I knew, you know, I was never going to be a star athlete or a rock star, but I wanted people to remember me as an artist. And so we just kind of dropped the first name. All my Facebook friends know me as Christopher, and I always joke around and tell people I'm not as pretentious as I pretend to be. But I went with the Becker just so people would remember it. It's just one name, like Bono, Sting, Madonna, not Cher. But you know, we just, again, I wanted people to remember me. And that's the thing, over the years, as I've built my business, and you know, yeah, I know that people kick around that term like rock star photographer. I'm like, whatever. It's like, I'm just a regular guy, a regular photographer, just, you know, having a business. But thankfully my clients, like, have always seemed to like what I've done, and they refer me to their friends. And you know, it's not about just taking good pictures, but also giving them great service and an outstanding experience. And that's what I'm all about.
Well, how important is branding in wedding photography, or just photography in general, or any sort of, you know, art-based service industry? Is it critical that, you know, people perceive you a certain way, or is it more critical that you are producing a certain level of work, or both?
Well, I think I tell people all the time, I think the brand is your most valuable asset as an artist, especially with more and more photographers getting in the business all the time. And it's just kind of, for the longest time, you thought like wedding photography, and it was just like your image in your head was just some old man that would show up and take these standard photos that were, you know, right off of a checklist. And it was like anybody could do it. And for the longest time, I think wedding photography was like the lowest rung on the photo food chain there.
Yeah.
And I don't think it's like that anymore. I think like there are some really good photographers that are making great livings, and they're doing something that they absolutely love, and they take pride in it. And again, there are a lot of photographers out there. So I think it really is important to have a well-defined brand so that you can stand out from the pack. And that's what I've been able to do. And you know, like I said, we've built a nice little following, and I really think that the brand is, like I said, the most important asset for a photographer.
So then, you know, people say that wedding photography, you know, maybe this is, maybe it's different today, but people in the past have said that wedding photography is a commodity. You know, you have an event that's going to happen, and you know, it's a planned series of events. You know, there's going to be a bride, you know, there's going to be a ring, you know, she's going to be getting dressed, you know, there's going to be a reception. You know, generally what's going to happen. And then you intersperse into that the notion of wedding photojournalism. Would you consider yourself a wedding photojournalist, or how do you position your business?
Well, I definitely have a documentary style. My whole goal is to show up at these weddings as if I was just an old friend with a fancy camera. And I try to shoot most of the day, very fly on the wall, very, hey, don't mind me, just do your thing. I'll let you know if I need a little attention from you guys, if I am going to take a couple like portraits. I talk about in my business taking the relaxed portrait. And I think the comment that I get from people is like, it never, even though obviously there are posed pictures, it never has that like fake smile forced on their face. And people seem to have a good time because, like I said, I'm trying to use my personality to really kind of interact with the clients and stuff. And I think that's actually my greatest asset, you know, is my ability to make people feel comfortable in front of my camera, my ability to make people feel comfortable in my living room when they're about to hire me. Yeah. You know, like I said, because again, it's like, yeah, photography's photography, right? Yeah, okay. Anyone can shoot your wedding. But guess what? I'm only available, you know, for one couple every Saturday because, you know, I have a high value on my time and my service. And like I said, I just kind of, again, I approach it more like an artist. And when you come down to, again, a brand and a name and stuff like that, like, you know, people know the big name artists, but there's plenty of artists that you don't know their name. And so it's like, and then sometimes you look at it and go, oh, well, is that good just because it's a great painting, or is it good because it has Picasso's name signed to it? You know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Not a huge fan of Picasso, but that's just me. Not my cup of tea, but you know.
Right. Yeah. Well, it's art. It's supposed to be subjective. So then what about the photographers that are jumping in? You know, say here's a case study. There's a photographer that, decided, hey, I just lost my job in technology and I decided that I'm not going to go back into corporate America. I'm going to start a photography business. Maybe he has limited skills. Maybe not. You know, what would your advice to him be?
Well, again, I think it's the most important thing that you can do is do something that you love doing. And that's why I feel lucky every day, because I'm doing something, again, that I've wanted to do since I was in high school. And it's like, it's so fun to go out there and shoot and do my thing. And so I would say, if you're looking at photography as just a way to make a paycheck, yeah, I guess you could do that and you can get some money. But again, I think it's the people that really, again, take the pride in what they're doing. They have passion for it and they're authentic. I think those are the people that are going to be, you know, very successful. And again, with all the stuff and all the people that I've encountered over the years, you know, you see some that are doing really well and you see some that are doing okay. And you see some that are struggling. And it seems to be universal that the people who are doing really well are the people who really pour their whole life into it, their heart and soul, and they invest time and money in going to workshops and seminars and trying to better their craft. And again, I think a lot of time it just really does come down to that ambition. So for the guy who just got laid off his tech job, it's like, I think photography is a great way to make a living if it's something that you really want to do. If you're just looking to make a paycheck and make some extra money on the weekends, like, okay, that's probably all you'll make is a little extra money. I don't know that you'll make a career or anything like that.
Yeah. So then, okay. So what about, let's just talk a little bit about gear and that sort of thing. You know, you're on a wedding, you typically probably have a standard checklist of things that you bring. Can you just touch on that a little bit and kind of the things you take out with you?
Yeah, I for the longest time I was bi. I had Nikon and Canon. I was going back and forth, and I've kind of settled on the Canon system just because, honestly, I like the 50mm 1.2 lens, you know?
Yeah.
Nikon came out that D3, which is actually a really good camera, and I was able to test that, and I really liked it, but they don't have a 51-2, and that Canon lens is my favorite lens, and I do shoot 90% of my images with it. But I have got all the standards, the 70-200, the 24-70. I use a 24-1.4 for my wide stuff. I got a fisheye that I never use, and you know, whatever.
Are you using any strobe when you're at an event?
Yeah, I just got a couple 580s and stuff, and I've been playing around with a little more like off camera flash, and sometimes I'll just put one on top of like the DJ's speaker with a pocket wizard or something just to get a second angle on the light and just kind of mix it around. But thankfully, a lot of the weddings that I'm shooting, they bring in some cool lighting. So I'm shooting a lot of ambient stuff. And then again, with these new cameras, they're pretty good at the high ISOs. So you can rock out 1600 or 3200 and still get a pretty clean file, especially when I'm shooting my 51-2. And I shoot pretty close to wide open, and I like to blow the backgrounds out of focus and just make the subject really stand out. That's just kind of a hallmark of my style. So
yeah, that's great. Wow, you said, so that's your workhorse lens, the 51-2?
Yeah, I shoot that all the time, and it's just like I probably could shoot an entire wedding with it. I'd have to sneak up a little closer during the ceremony, but no, I usually picking people off in the back with the 70-200. But you know, I'm not really a big gearhead kind of guy, but because I think it's like, it really doesn't matter what you're using. There's plenty of people that shoot good pictures even with a Nikon, you know.
Yeah. Now, are you just fast forward to after the event, and you're putting the images online for the clients to view? I know you've been a proponent, from when I met you when I was at Pictage, you've been a proponent of using your own do-it-yourself sort of system. You want to explain just how you do that, just from a high level, not into the details, but you know, why do you prefer having your own shopping cart versus uploading your stuff to a service that's going to charge you for it?
Well, again, it's right there. It's the service that's going to charge you for it. And that's only part of the reason. The business standpoint, that's one thing. But then I think part of the reason when we all switched to digital, I switched in 2001. And, you know, I know some people switched before that, but it seems like most people are switching after. But one of the great advantages of digital is the control that you have over the files. And again, I worked for a long time at a photo lab, and they dropped their film off. We'd process the film, we'd print it, and we would print it how we printed it. You know, there wasn't a lot of input that the photographers gave, and there wasn't a lot that they could do. I mean, they could ask it for darker or whatever, but digital gives you so much control as far as how you process things in Photoshop or whatever with all the actions. And so I think in addition to like your photographic style, I think people also have a post-processing style that is pretty much, you know, dictated by them. And the lab, you know, they could try to do it, but I kind of like was a control freak as far as the images go. And so that was one of the reasons I decided to do it myself. But then the other reason also, yeah, from a business standpoint, I didn't want someone taking a percentage of every sale that I made while also charging me like a monthly fee or an upload fee or all that stuff. So it just seemed like silly from a business standpoint to just to keep paying for another company to be rich where I'm trying to like make the money and keep it for myself. Because they say it's not how much money you make, it's how much money you keep.
Yeah,
so I was
yeah.
just tired of throwing my money away on these other services. So we've been really happy with PicPic, and you pay a one-time fee and then nothing else. So it's pretty nice.
But then you pay that one-time fee and you have the shopping cart installed. What about the time from, say, I'm your client and I pick 50 images that I want and I put them in my shopping cart and I click order. You've got my credit card information, et cetera. What happens after that?
Well, again, I do have a staff that helps me out with that stuff because I've got a lot of things going on. Now, if I didn't have all these other extracurricular projects, I could certainly process the images myself in Photoshop or Lightroom or Aperture and send them to the lab and, you know, save money compared to some of those online services. Their lab fees are really a lot more than most professional labs when you would send in a WYSIWYG file. So, you know, again, I've got a great staff that they handle all that stuff. They ship it out. And I think the other thing about having that cart is we have it on our website. So our clients, I think, are a little more comfortable in sharing their credit card information with it because we probably already have it and it's just trusted. It's not going to a third party service and, you know, my clients aren't getting bombarded with spam messages or anything like that. We just kind of let people know, hey, here's the shots. If you want to order them, knock yourself out. But we've never been one that's like really focused on selling reprints or pictures per se. Like I sell myself and I try to get paid for my time and talent. Anything else that they buy is just a bonus. But thankfully that PicPic cart is pretty slick and we did pretty well selling loose reprints last year. So
that's really cool. All right, Lyle, I want to talk a little bit about your extracurricular activities. I know you've got a couple of things going on. You've got the B school and you've got this Party of Five project that you're working on. Can you explain? Let's start with the B school. What is that about?
Well, the B school, we just, you know, over the years, we've been a part of many online communities for photographers and some actually really good ones. I made some incredible friends and great connections. And we just decided as, you know, as like technology advances and things like MySpace and Facebook and Twitter were getting more and more popular, we just kind of thought like, oh, like a V bulletin board forum just seemed so 90s, you know? So we actually made our own custom social network for photographers, you know, just another way for people to connect online. And it's the same kind of discussions that are going on. People are, you know, chatting in the forums, but we do have like, you know, video classroom and we have a way to keep track of, you know, your friends' schedules and stuff like that. Because I've always been a big proponent of photographers helping photographers. And I've built my business by connecting with, you know, a handful and then more than a handful of photographers in my area that are giving me overflow referrals. When they're booked on a date, they're sending me referrals. And when I'm booked, I'm sending them referrals. And it's just kind of a different thing that we started doing right at the beginning. We noticed a lot of photographers back in the day weren't really willing to share or help out. And it was very closed off. And so me and my buddy Joe Photo, and then eventually just some other guys, we all just started kind of helping each other out. And our businesses just grew and grew and grew and flourished. And like, we thought, gosh, why not just help each other? And so that was kind of the whole basis for the B schools. We wanted a place where photographers who are interested in helping people out and giving back and not just taking and taking, taking. So that's what we built. We built this custom network. We're pretty stoked on it. And it's going pretty good so far.
And then what about Party of Five? What is that about?
Party of Five is just, again, a small little workshop that I host at my house. Again, it's just five people in my living room. I've been to so many seminars at WPPI or other parts of the world, and you see some photographer in a hotel ballroom with his laptop telling you how great he is and how fun their business is. And sometimes you just kind of go like, oh, I think they're BSing us a little bit, or maybe they're exaggerating the truth. booth, or sometimes it just seems not very genuine. Right. So I just said, hey, come on over. I'll show you. I'll show you exactly what I do. Like, no questions or off limit. I'll answer whatever you want. And I just show them, hey, look, here's how we deal with the couples. Here's how we have our gallery set up. Here's how we sell. Here's how I do my post-processing. I take them out and I do like a engagement shoot with one of my actual couples, not models, like actual one of my wedding clients. And then we shoot the photos. Then we come back, we process the photos, and they're blown away that I can, you know, shoot 1500 shots at an engagement session in, you know, half hour or 45 minutes. I do shoot a lot. I have a very slutty finger. You don't know where that thing's been, but then I'll come back and I will process all the images, back them up, edit them, tweak them, put them online, back them up to DVD and blog about it all within an hour. And people are blown away because we have a super awesome workflow. And so that's what the Party Five is. It's just, I do it a couple times a year.
So you're opening the kimono to the community, basically.
Well, yeah, it's like, hey, come on and check. Like I said, I think that, again, I'm just a big believer in helping people out. And like I said, I've just seen so many people, they just, their business takes off after spending some time with me. And like I said, we like sharing, because then, again, all these people that used to be my assistants that are now, I guess you would call competitors, but I don't think of it that way. I think of it as colleagues, and like, hey, great, send me a referral in your book, you know, return the favor here, you know. So we've just been like, again, building this great community of people that are just willing to be cool and open up and share. And I think we've got a special thing here in Southern California, and it's catching on other places, you know, because I've been traveling a lot. I shoot weddings all over the country and all over the world even. And I see people all the time like, oh, Becker, you're so lucky in Orange County. Everybody all networks. And I'm like, well, it didn't used to be that way. So it's just a matter of like people stepping up and taking charge. And I think more and more people are getting that it's better to work with each other than be like fierce competitors.
Awesome. Well, Becker, thank you so much for taking the time to chat with me today. Where can people keep up with you and find out about the stuff you're working on?
Well, you can go to beckersblog.com, and that is my blog that has links to pretty much everything else. It has links to thebschool.com. The B School, it is only $10 a month, but if you're not ready for that, I have the B School blog. There's over 150 free videos and just advice and tips. And then we still, you know, feature some industry news on there. It's totally free. But, and then I have, my website is thebecker.com for my wedding portfolio. And then I also have thebecker.net that has all my personal work, but beckersblog.com is like home base for me. And I try to update that 4 or 5 times a week.
Awesome. And you're on Twitter as well, right? What's your,
of course,
right?
Twitter, the Becker, twitter.com/thebecker, and then I just got my facebook.com/thebecker as well.
Excellent. All right, Becker, thank you so much for taking the time to tell me how you're doing your business.
Anytime, bud.
All right,
we'll talk to you soon.
Thanks, Becker. Thanks.